It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live October 7th, 2024 at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? It's so good to be here with you on this amazing Sagittarius moon. The dogs are happy. I'm happy. You're going to be happy if you're not already. Come join us if you can over at 12radio.com. When you go to 12radio.com and you click the chat link, I'm sorry for the dogs barking in the background, but I think I scared them when I just launched in. So I might mute myself and scream at them, but hang on. Well, that worked, I think. All right, so come over to 12radio.com, click the chat link on the left-hand side, and you will be catapulted over into the Facebook page where my friend, colleague, and producer, and psychic advisor, Jay Varvel, has put up the banner. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. And you'll see... If you scroll down a little, you might have to ask permission to come into the room. And if you do, we'll get you. Just let them know you want to come in. And if you click the comments button, the little says like show comments or whatever it is. And then you have to go over and click again where it says most relevant. Click it to all comments. So you can see everybody, right? And I do that. And I see Laura in the house. Hi, Laura. And Penny's here. Hi, Penny. Thanks for being here. Pamela, good to have you here. So glad to be able to listen live. I hope you bring us good news today. Always good news, Pamela. Really, I have good news. Tara, good to see you. And you have a blessed Monday too. Hey, Truly, welcome to be here. I'm so happy to have you here. Happy to be tuning in. I can't wait to hear more. Inga, good to have you here. It is a beautiful morning everywhere, I hope. Hi, Judith. Good to have you here. She says, good. Okay. she's ready because I think a lot of you guys are ready for some change. Just get here. And it's so true. And I have a lot to talk to you about that. So come on into the room. I'll keep checking on you. It's, you don't have to say anything. Just come say hi to your folks or just see your folks. I have a new system here, a new mixer. And so if my sound is weird or different, you can let me know if anything, you know, because I'm just learning the ropes of it right now, but it seems like it's clearer. And I'm loving that. So we'll keep playing with it, make sure it works for everybody. Okay, so we know today's October 7th. Happy birthday to my favorite person in the entire world. And I'm thank God he doesn't listen to the show because he'd crucify me. And he'd still be my favorite person in the world. And it made me think today a lot about compatibility and about, you know, how we determine compatibility and it all, you know, and we're going to talk about all of it. We're going to bring it in because we have so much happening this week with a Jupiter retrograde happening. We have Pluto going direct. A lot of us are like, okay, big deal. What does it mean? And so for the naysayers among you, which I'm sure there aren't a lot or you wouldn't be tuning into an astrology show, right? But for people who just that you meet or that, you know, it might be listening that aren't 100% convinced that astrology really is anything. First of all, I'm really sad for you because I hate for anybody to just block out an entire system that actually could work in a metaphor, in a way that sort of guy that is so easily mapped and proven. And yeah, there's so many, we mess up everything, right? I mean, this is what we do as humans. We mess up everything. So, you know, we have to get into horoscopes and we have to get into scaring people. We have to get into trying to predict the future. Instead, it's just really basically understanding that every moment in time has a quality and beauty in it that lasts for the life of that being that is in that moment of time. So a particular moment when you take your first breath, when you launch your first business, when you get married, an event, has a birth. That's when life is breathed into it. For babies, it's when life is breathed into it. A lot of people do conception, conception. It's at conception when you're run your birth chart. That's fine, but really, life begins when you take your breath. And so, the breath of a building, like when you sign the papers and when you launch your business online, when you send out the first letter that says, we're open, those kind of things are good moments to look at what is that moment in time. What's the quality? And that quality carries with you for your entire life. And that's the thing to remember. For your entire life, the quality that you are imbued with stays with you. Now, beauty is, it's because it's your quality of life. It's your moment of time. It's perfect. It's not anything that needs to be fixed in it. Okay? And you've learned to do it really well. Whatever your moon is, whatever your sun is, whatever portal in which you look at reality in the world, it definitely is going to be influenced by the environment, nature, nurture issue, right? But whatever has been shaped, and you at least have this map, this opportunity to look at it and say, oh, I didn't get a chance to really express my moon. And I've been doing that a lot lately. Talking to John, who is an extraordinary, extraordinary astrologer, to just get some overview about life. Like I was talking about synastries or how compatible charts are. That's called a synastry when you put two charts together and sort of look at them. And he's all below the chart and I'm all above the chart, and he's all air or tons of air and I'm tons of water. And water and air are like the opposite, true opposites of the zodiac, which I want to like get into today with you as well, because that's so much of what's happening in the sky. You'd think water's opposite would be fire, right? Because they extinguish each other, blah, 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 but it's not. The true misinformation, the true need to understand is when you bring a water element in with air, and it's like, wow, that is night and day. Air is all about orienting. Like, you notice how when you judge an air sign, what you're judging them, what the worst part of an air sign is, or a mental person. That's what an air sign is, a mental person, where somebody just relies so heavily on facts and data. What do we accuse them of? No emotion, being feelingless. So we accuse them of the actual absence of water. Water is all about feelings and all about emotion and all about, you know, the taking the shape of the container and empathy, right? So what do we accuse water signs of when they're in their like empathy mode, overly emotional mode, right? Lack of objectivity. So we actually accuse them of lacking that thing, that opposite. That's one of the reasons why we know they're opposite. And that is happening in the sky now. There's a big division of water, the emotional, and the negative parts of water. It's hard to find, really, seeing what's negative about water. But the negative parts of water are the over empathy, the over taking on the shape, like losing yourself to something else, the overreactive quality of emotion. Like, because it's not about feeling. All the signs feel, right? All the elements have a feeling component. That'd be ridiculous to say. But it's our response to the feeling is what constitutes the element. And water's response to feeling is emote, to cry, to be heartbroken, to be devastated, to be, all right? And so and air's is objectivity. Like, well, you know, that's why they look so cold when we say something about the lack of emotion in air. So if you take this time period, you see a lot of that going on, a lot of the hysteria, a lot of the fear, a lot of the emotional, you know, polarization, and a lot of the life or death reactivity. I know fire signs are really good at that too, which is why fire and water are actually more alike than fire and air. And then you see the other side, cold, calculating, detached, overview, like we're just looking at, I'm doing this for the business, I'm doing, you know, that kind of thing. That's in the air right now. And so when you're looking at two people coming together, one predominantly air, one predominantly water, and you think, wow, that is like oil and water what happens is you realize that the person that you brought in has all the things that you don't have a great understanding of, and why wouldn't you bring them in? And that's been the big mistake with doing synastries or relationship charts, and the big misunderstanding is that we think compatibility means the same, being the same, being in sympathy with somebody, being connected in a way that, oh, we're both water signs and we just so understand the world the same way. And so zero growth potential. Now, let me just qualify. If you're in a relationship with somebody of your same elements, a lot of growth occurs, no problem. It just occurs differently. It occurs in simpatico with the other person, right? Typically. Whereas if you're of a different ilk, your orientation comes together differently, then the learning can come a little more intensely and a little more in chunks and sometimes a little more separately. Because I know when John and I started out, the first 2 years were like out of a Frankenstein, like out of just a horror movie. It was just horrifying. Neither one of us, I think, had an understanding of relationships, much less of somebody so different. And yet we were so much alike, so compatible in so many ways. We loved the exact same things. How rare is that? Which is one of the things I count as my blessing. Every time I think about it, God, I mean, he was into everything I was into, including astrology, including A Course in Miracles, including just the way he looked at life, his bent on politics even. And it was like, wow, for a Libra, I mean, Libras, you know, you guys, until I met John, I was like, Libras, you know, I mean, just press on the scale a little bit, you get the other opinion. You can't be happy with them because none of that was true. And see, what did I learn? I learned so much by being in a connection that was so foreign to me. And so when you're doing a compatibility chart with somebody, when you're looking at are you compatible, we're so used to looking at where you're similar that we forget to look at where you're different as the strength. Okay, as the point of understanding. And I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've looked at astrology to help people understand that's just this part of them. That's their sun sign, and that's their moon sign, that's their Mercury, that's the way they orient the world. And so when you're doing that, when you remember to do that, the world's not so scary, it's not so different. And that's the edge people who love astrology and who understand astrology have over the people who don't. Because if you don't think it's an edge when you're applying for a job, if you could by any chance get that birth information of the person hiring you or birth information of the job you're going to, can you imagine the build? I mean, actually, when was it incorporated? What? Wow. I'm telling you, it's kind of amazing. And I know most of you know that are listening. But if you have a friend who isn't listening, I have several, definitely remind them the power of it and remind yourself the power of it. I'm going to come in and say hi to you guys real quick again because I know that the room took a big leap. And so let me just do that. I'm hitting the comments, view comments, and then you change the comments, little link right above all the comments where it says most relevant. Click that word and change it to all comments, and you can join me in saying hi to Renee and Peggy Reeser. Peggy said, I was catapulted here. Peggy has her show tomorrow. Oh, my angels. Extraordinary woman. Peggy, it's so good to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. Judith Tapp, Barking Translated. Yay, we're happy too. Thank you for translating my boys. Yeah, they are adorable too. I mean, I know you all know I love them. I do so love them. And since we've been together, I don't think I've ever been apart from them. It's sick. It really is. I take them everywhere because I figured it's 3 years now. That the separation anxiety lessens because they don't, and I was thinking this today on our walk, they don't have the experience, they don't have an emotional reference for being away from me. So if I leave, if I, you know, go into town maybe one time without them, it doesn't register as like, You know, it's like sort of because they haven't been traumatized by my leaving. I know. It's like I'm taking being an isolative cancer huddled in my home with every blanket I can possibly find on a cold winter day, loving every minute of it as a compliment to my way of life. But I definitely love that they have not been traumatized by those kind of things. Because imagine at a time when you have to go to work. It's not that it's trauma. And those of you that have to go to work, I so get it. And your dog, I mean, and dogs historically have always done great with that stuff. I'm just saying it's nice for me to have a cycle where I don't have to leave them. And they haven't been, and I talk to them like in full sentences and in a foreign language that I don't understand. Like I make up words. Because I know they're feeling my heart, and sometimes I look and go, oh my God, I freaking have to kiss you all over. I do that much adore them. It's equal kissing. There's no question. But anyway, thank you for translating, Judith. I so easily digress. We're going to talk about this Sag moon. I have a lot to tell you about this Neptune and Pisces too. Tara, thanks for being Tara. I hope this week is better than the last. Bring us some happy news. I'm going to do that. I promise. I'm going to do that right now. After I say hi to Lioness, Monday hugs back to you. Maya, thanks for being here. Oh, thank you for letting me know I sound clear, Tara. That's awesome. I love that. Quelly, thank you for being here. And Judith says, Jesus, Mark Husson, if John crucifies you by listening to your show, and then we're going to have to call you Jesus. Man, that's not going to be easy. Judith's mind, you all have to know. I love this mind on Judith, Dragon Lady. We call her because of the Year of the Dragon. And this is Year of the Dragon, Judith. Yeah, happy birth year for Chinese astrology. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You know what, you guys? Yeah, bubbles. Water carbonates, air carbonates water. It does. But see, the metaphor of that, it lightens us up. Joni, I'm happy to be here and loving this topic and your insights. Spot on for me. Yay, I'm so glad. Lynn, tomorrow is the big Albuquerque balloon thing. I'm going to see if I can get you on TV. Try to find a camera. Hey, I'm pet sitting starting today, so I will listen to the replay, but I wanted to sneak in for a moment and sprinkle some love to you and the family. Oh, Lynn, it's more than a sprinkle. Thank you. Fran Ellsworth, thank you for being here. And Jim, good morning. Thanks for being here. Mary Jean, I'm a Pisces in relationship with a Libra. Yay! He drives me insane sometimes, but we're really good together. Right, Mary Jean? Honestly, I know. Mary Jean took classes of ours years ago. It feels like yesterday. I'll never forget you. Always good to see you. Gwen, thanks for being here. Good day, Moon and Sag too. Okay. So yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. So much there. This week, let's talk about this week. I want to talk to you too about Neptune and Pisces because this is big, but we have Jupiter's going to go retrograde. So Jupiter's in Gemini. We want to keep it there for a little bit because it's kind of fun in Gemini. A lot of openings, a lot of path works, a lot of networking, a lot of pathways open up with Jupiter in, Gemini, and when it retrogrades, so it stops moving forward. We're just going to talk about as it appears. We know that the planets don't stop moving. But as it retrogrades, in order to go backwards as we're passing it, like when you're passing a car and there's a moment where it looks like that car that you're passing isn't moving at all because of the theory of relativity, right? And so when we're passing Jupiter in such a way that it actually doesn't look like it's moving forward anymore, it stations. It looks like it's stopped. So for right now, all the Geminis that you're feeling, all the Geminis are sort of in this moment, right? It's in a stopped moment. Wherever you have Gemini in your chart, a stopped moment. What's a stopped moment mean? Well, where you want some movement and you're really wanting some answers, they may not seem to come very easily. So it's stopping, but it's going to go retrograde. We're going to now get our answers. See, retrogrades are so beautiful because they keep us in that sort of, like, okay, let's uncover this. It brings answers. That's why I love Mercury retrogrades. Not only does it bring answers, it sort of like forces me in my silly ADD times to take another look. And I know that's so cliche to say Mercury makes you review. It doesn't. It doesn't. But it does get that internal part of us open and more intuitive and more clear. And that's what Jupiter does. And so Jupiter, because it's an octave higher than Mercury. So in other words, where Mercury is like insights and things that we need to learn here on the planet, Jupiter is sort of saying, let me have more profound insights about the world, about the earth, about some spiritual insight. And Jupiter's stopping for a minute to getting us back in to reconnect to our trust. The thing about Gemini is Gemini, if you have your moon there, your sun there, your rising sign there, particularly, or Gemini, it's easily distracted and can forget about the other twin. So what you see in a Gemini, somebody with a strong Gemini is like, oh, it was always this way. I've always been happy. I've always been depressed. It's always been miserable. It's always been good. But whatever it is in that moment, it's what it's always been, because they forget about the other stuff. It's how a water sign judges an air sign, right? Whatever's in the moment's all it's ever been. You never remember anything. Okay. Oh, and I have never said those words ever to John. But anyway, then you have the retrograde motion where you get this chance, Jupiter sort of like dealing with the spiritual, dealing with what turns us on, what opens us up, getting a chance to remember it, getting a chance to bring the other twin in that maybe isn't so happy, or maybe is happy but forgotten. So you could have been miserable this whole time, worried and angsting about the world and worried about, you know, politics. I know what y'all are worried about. I know. I mean, and I know both sides what you're worried about. And I know that when you pull in, you get to get the part of you that you've set on the shelf and bring that person forward, bring that part of you forward, bring that information out. We tend to stuff either the fears, you know, there's two types here in Gemini. You either stuff your fears and you're like, everything's okay, everything's okay, everything's okay. Or you only know your fear. It's all going to go to hell. I can't help it. And so you have to go in and bring the other part. Okay. So if you've been like sort of living in a blissful state, you got to come and bring some of your worries up, because you don't even know how they're hurting you. And if you've been in this sort of fretting state, you got to come bring the part of you that knows it's going to be okay, because what's bigger than you? What are you worshiping more than you? What's bigger here? You have real things in front of you that you need to care about. Real things. I don't need to care about millionaires and billionaires and the whatever they want to say, and all of a sudden it's like, I just feel like such a peon when I do that. And I'm tired of that. I get so tired of politics. You have no idea how little news I listen to. I get some headlines. I research and make sure they're good headlines and that they are legit. And then I move on. I'm not giving a lot of airtime to things that are crazy. And there's a lot of crazy out there. Because why am I doing that? Not because I don't care about the world. It's because I care about me. I care about bringing my boys, like my little dogs are my version of children. I don't want them eating that stuff that's in me, worried and scared. I don't want my partner to worry about that. Why is it that when we get in relationships, we suddenly feel permission just to bring our worst self out, fart at the table, you know? Why is that okay? That's not intimacy to me. It's sort of like, whatever. I mean, I really do say good morning. How are you? What's going on? You know, I love the sort of opening of kindness. I know you do too. But I just like to remind us that sometimes we just take for granted that it's like, you live with another person. It's not like you have to bring your worst self. Maybe that's the time to bring your best self always, as much as you can. I get it. We carry stuff, but at least a little bit of energy, because they're going to be absorbing that. They got to absorb you, what's around you. Now, okay. That's Jupiter. That's retrograde is happening Wednesday. And the thing about it is, as we go into the retrograde, as it stops solid, Wednesday could feel a little like, ugh. It could. It has the potential. I mean, there's another factor that could bring a thing. And I mean, no offense to you Capricorns, but sometimes that Capricorn moon, when I want to be in a fantasy world, the Capricorn moon is like, take off your glasses. And there's dirt all around you need to clean. Thank you. Sometimes that's Capricorn. And so when you have Jupiter not moving forward in that moment and Capricorn coming in as the moon, okay, it might look a little real. So Wednesday might look a little real. Okay, it could be amazing. Wednesday could be amazing. Because in that moment, when you're realizing, oh, there's nothing happening either way, like everything has changed because Jupiter's now not moving forward and the moon is in this sort of stoic, stable sign, you might just eat that up. So I'm not saying Wednesday has to be that, but it is a changing day. It's a Capricorn day. It's a more serious day. Thursday is going to be all Capricorn. Now, the second day, when the moon changes signs, wonky. When the day after the moon changes signs, ooh, I feel a little more comfortable here because I've gotten used to the energy. And by Friday, when it's going into Aquarius, you're like, hurry up, get the hell out of here and get Aquarius in my life. And on Friday, Pluto is also going to go direct. So Pluto is not going retrograde anymore. Jupiter will do that. Pluto is stopping in the sign of Capricorn and starting to move forward. So Pluto is another stationary one, meaning it's not going to move Friday, but it's never going to go back into Capricorn again for 200 some years. But it's not leaving Capricorn. It's at 29. It has to get into Aquarius at zero. We talked about it. It's going to be at 29 Capricorn through the election, which is why we don't predict the election. This election is so crazy, so volatile, so like, to predict it is sort of a attempt at taking a bet publicly that you have no clue what you're talking about. And I'm not taking that bet. I don't need to. I don't need to prove it to you. I can't figure it out. I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to know. I'll vote what I vote. You'll vote what you vote, or you won't. And we'll take whatever comes and we're going to make it. And together we're going to figure it out. So just stop all the crazy, okay? I'm here with you. We're going to be here. And I promise you I'm going to be here next year at the same time. Unless God, you know, whatever. Unless John follows through with the crucifixion story. Okay. Now, okay, I want to read something to you. Oh, I know I hate when people read to me. I'll make it interesting by animating my voice a little bit. But it's very short. But this is a book called The Sign of the Times. I just want to, you'll see exactly why I'm reading it to you. Okay. Astrology tells us that Pisces is one of the most psychic signs associated with the world beyond. It was when Neptune was in Pisces that the Fox sisters started their table tapping seances in New York. But a far more serious Piscean thing occurred. We have said that Pisces is associated with dissolution. Dissolution. And this Piscean period, in what he's talking about, this Piscean period saw the breaking up of the bonds that held the United States together. By the last year of Neptune in Pisces in 1861, now we're in the last year of Pisces in 2024, in case anybody got confused that I thought we were in the 1800s, the southern states had seceded over the issue of slavery. To use the standard historical phrase, the Union had been dissolved. During these years, Abe Lincoln made his famous statement, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." He went on to say that he did not expect the House of the U.S. to fall. He expected it to cease being divided. If he had known about the Neptune factor, perhaps he would have not been so optimistic. The Neptune factor said that Neptune was in the sign of Pisces at this time, that water, women, spirituality, Christian symbolism, and dissolution would be the concerns of this period. For the third time in a row now, history has proved Neptune to be right. Instead of stopping when Neptune entered Pisces, the coincidences continued. Once again, we can go back to 160 years to the previous time when Neptune was in Pisces, 1684, 1697, to find the same sort of coincidences. Instead of Melville's Moby Dick, we find the start of the American whaling industry on a large scale in Nantucket, 1690. Instead of women, seances, and religious revivals, we find the pious fervor of the Salem witch hunt, 1692 to 93, resulting in 19 witches hanged and one pressed to death. As for the matter of the Union dissolving in this earlier period, obviously there was not yet a United States, but for some time, Massachusetts, Plymouth, New Haven, and Connecticut had banded together in a New England Confederation, a tiny alliance, to be sure, but still the first significant union of American states. The scope of this book is limited to the years 1697, but the Neptune factor itself knows no restraint. If we jump back 100 years more, we find Neptune in a different sign, running into the same kind of mystery, well-fitting coincidences. From 1587 to 1602, Neptune was in Leo, the sign associated with drama. During this period, with the golden age of theater in Elizabethan England, when an actor named William Shakespeare began writing. Okay, so you get the point. Neptune back then was all about dissolution. It was all about succeed. And think about what's happened politically with this big division. You know, it's so tribal now, right? All that stuff, states talking about seceding. But here's the thing. It's at the end. It's 29 degrees is the end. And if you notice the charts that I send out, if you all get on our mailing list at 12house.com, please just subscribe. It's one of the great ways I have, one of the only ways I have to communicate with you and let you know what's going on. But Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus are all at the very end of their signs cycle. I've said this every week to you. But this is particular about Neptune ending its cycle in Pisces. And I have information for you about when it goes into Aries that's going to blow your mind. And no, it's not all war. It isn't. But next year, Neptune, Saturn is also going to change signs. Okay, so we have Saturn and Neptune right now are both in Pisces. There's going to be a moment, because Saturn moves faster than Neptune, that they come together. In 2025, it'll be in July, and you haven't seen more what you want come into form. It's right before it goes into Aries. In fact, they conjunct at 29 degrees Pisces, and then they change, and it is going to be substantive, you know what I mean. Okay, but until then, we're going to do research. We're going to look at when was it there before. Saturn was 30 years ago, 28, 29 years ago when it was in Pisces. And all of you guys that are in your 50s, later 50s, are having your Saturn return. Okay, your second Saturn return. And those of you that are 28, 29, you're having your first one. And what that means is you will see is Saturn brings you into a place where all the fucking, I was going to say, I don't like to cuss in the morning too much. I like to cuss all the time. But all of that stuff that you feel is so loose and so doesn't make sense comes together. And everywhere you feel like you have boundaries wide open and doors wide open and too many people are in your life and too many people, you've taken on too many opinions and too many people have a say-so, all of that changes, all of it. And for those of you that aren't in the middle of a Saturn return, that are not 28 or 56, whatever, you guys, wherever Saturn is in your chart, are starting to put some boundaries up in your life. Some of you are planning marriage. Some of you are planning new boundaries. Some of you are planning divorce. Some of you are getting rid of influences that are no longer useful in your life. And bless me, you should be doing that. Because this is the time, if we go with the flow of where the water is instead of swimming upstream and doing the current. Thank you, Jay, by the way. I just saw your note. If you follow the stream, okay, and go in the direction of the current, this is the time to get rid of, to change, to let go of the influences that are bringing you down. And that's not necessarily a person in your life. It could be. I mean, just cause, and remember this, just because you're mad at somebody, this is the Jupiter and Gemini thing. You didn't always hate them. You don't always hate them. It may not be about a person. But in general, if you have a door open in your life, let's say it's an addiction, time to maybe take a look. If you want to change it, this is the time to change it. And I'm not judging addictions. I have them. I'm all water, right? I have addictions. And I have a phobia about addiction too. I do. Because if I was vaping, I think I told you I was vaping, and then I just stopped. I got so scared at how much I wanted to vape. And I was vaping nicotine. Because my mind told me that it was like, it would speed up my metabolism. I could lose weight. I wouldn't have all the lung issues and da, da, da. And I just went down that rabbit hole. But I came back out. I came back out. I quit cold turkey. I haven't touched it. It wasn't easy. But it's that flow, okay, going with the flow, Saturn being in Pisces, where I knew I'd have the strength to do it. And I did. And you can judge it, whatever you want, like silly, whatever. But until, you know, until you're there. Your judgments mean nothing, right? So you can't possibly understand it if you aren't there. So what do I care? I mean, it's great. Throw your opinions. But it's not like I love your opinions. I think they're great. But I also take them for what they're worth. If you were once in my shoes and you understand that desire and that way of thinking, then you also will understand the power of letting go of that. So you can do it. You can do it. And you may choose not to. And both are okay. I am not living your life. You have got to do it. You have enough guilt you're carrying. You don't need me going, but you know, because that's what it sounds like in my head. But you know, there is a, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh my God. Okay. All right. So yeah, that's the sound of the voice in my head. How would you like to have that all the time? Whew, Lord. I was just telling John that the voices in my head are this collection, because I feel like I was raised by literally many different people. And the voices are very varied. and you know, I sometimes act them out in the exact way I hear them. It's a nightmare. Okay. Let me check on you guys. I have more to say. I know that's shocking. Please pick yourself up from the floor. But I do. Hang on. I'm coming to get you in the room. Hold on. Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, and I see there, I'm clicking 32 comments is what it says. And then it goes most relevant. I click most relevant and I go all. And that's what I want you to do if you want to see everybody in the room. But there's Harriet. I can't believe, Esther, that you made it. You did. You did it. Welcome. Hi, Judith says, oh, nothing like kissing puppies' heads and noses. There really isn't. Jackie Walsh is in the house. Happy Monday. Pack your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Yeah, Jackie, you always make me sing. Hey, Pamela, I'm an equal opportunity worrier. I worry about everything. I just figure that I cover all the bases that way. I so get that. I really do. Love is up. Love is in the air, up, up and away in my beautiful balloon. Happy to be here. Yes, Jackie, tomorrow we're going to be looking for you. Try to find a camera. They're the Albuquerque. It's on my Facebook page. They posted it, but it's the Albuquerque Balloon Festival, right? And so it's televised. Yeah, Sarah, congratulations. She said, I'm still not vaping. I told you I quit a few months ago. Sarah, yay! Good for you. I mean, and listen, if you said, Mark, I fell off the wagon and I'm vaping, I'd be applauding you. But I love that. And congratulations. I know you feel good about it. Me too. Every once in a while, like I'm doing something and I'm like, ooh, I remember that urge, but it's gone. So basically for me, I've quit smoking twice in my life. And nicotine is this evil, evil human. It is. It's a spirit. It's not human. It's a disemboweled human. And it's a voice. I mean, nicotine is a crazy drug. It is. It's a crazy drug. I know all drugs can be, but nicotine, I actually heard when I said, I told myself, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to stop. I heard the voice. I heard nicotine say to me, you know, you're right. You should, but go slow. Go. What's the rush? Go wean off. It's less painful. Woo, Lord. Okay. Judas said, yeah, Capricorn moon. Guess what? I still want to have my fantasy and you can be serious as you want to be, dear Capricorn moon. Oh, as you want to be, dear Capricorn moon, I'm just going to be more serious about my fantasy. That's very good, Judith. That's very good. Yes. Yeah, we can be serious. Let's be serious about the things that turn us on, that make us happy, that make us joyful. So in this cycle of change, as we see Neptune ending its cycle in Pisces, you're going to see a lot more issues of Neptune emerge and Pisces emerge. So what are those? Again, pharmaceuticals, the drug companies, you know, the Ozempic thing, the Ozempic craze, the trizepatides, the semiglutides, all those things that were the miracle drugs. We'll see some more changes in those, but those, that's one of the gifts Neptune left. For many people, that's a big gift. Maybe, you know, not so much a gift in the pricing and the way the pharmaceuticals get to capitalize on that, but still, some of this pharmaceutical stuff has been miraculous. I mean, great, great studies and finds. We're also seeing like the the whole issue with abortion, the whole issue with women, how women have been treated, how men have the suicide rate for men going up, all those things are very Piscean, and all those things we're going to see changes in. And being, I think it's where when Neptune starts to leave, the consciousness around those things grows. And so we're going to see some of that. Saturn coming into Pisces is going to help us do just that, give a form to the solution. Okay, Neptune dissolves dissolution. Saturn gives a form to a resolution. Let's look at it that way. Okay, I'm not just trying to rhyme words, though. Really, I should have gone into poetry. okay, now okay, back to the chart. Pluto changing signs. I can't even give it to you enough. That is gigantic. It is the zeitgeist effect. It is the effect of a consciousness that is really going to be shifting into Aquarius permanently, or at least for 15 years. I can't even begin to say, so what does that mean during the election? Because for the last few moments of the election, Pluto will be in Capricorn. Does it mean we get the old guy? Does it mean we get the new regime? What's it mean? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't want to guess. What I want to guess is you're going to be okay. What I want to guess, I'm going to be okay. And what I want to really believe and work with is how we're going to ride these planets with the current and be one step ahead of everybody else on the planet, because we're all going to make this. It's serious. I believe this. I could not be more serious, and I would not have felt this way 4 years ago. I didn't feel this way 4 years ago. Different person, different idea, different way to work with the mental energy of it all. Okay, so now, the other thing that's changing, Uranus. You Tauruses, are you tired yet? Poor little Tauruses. Tauruses have been through it. You know, change is not easy. And so for your sign to be in the sign of great change and great ripping the rug out from under you, that's kind of hard, right? And I kind of get a chuckle out of it. Because I know so many Tauruses, and I know for them it has been like, oh my God. And they pulled through. Because one thing Taurus will do is pull through. Taurus, y'all hearing that? I don't care what your situation is, y'all pull through. There's no question about it. Tauruses have a magic link. It's called Venus. And no matter what they go through, and if your moon is in Taurus, if your sun is in Taurus, if your rising is in Taurus, your Venus is in Taurus, if you have some good sun canuck, if your sun is next to Venus, which many of yours are, you're having this kind of luck too. It doesn't feel lucky to a Taurus, the changes they go through. They hate it so much. They hate change so much. They hate having to do stuff outside of their, I mean, if I were a Taurus, and I know so many, like I said, life would never change. And they could just be content with it forever, ever, ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Now, you do meet those Tauruses that are like, I have to have change. I have to have change. And there's a whole story about why they're like that. But it's not true. And that consistency of I have to have change, I have to have change, is always their consistency. It never changes. And so we'll talk about that someday. For right now, just remember, the part of you that's Taurus has not been really happy. It's not easy having your life torn apart. I don't know a Taurus who didn't get things shaken from them. It didn't get shooken up. And some are still lamenting. Some went with the flow. Some made it the best thing that ever happened to them. So that is happening next year too. Uranus is going to see its final days in Taurus. It is then going into what? Gemini. Oh my God, these changes are ridiculous. So Geminis, you guys have had a lucky break. You're in your Jupiter return. You may not feel lucky. Geminis, it always depends on which side of the day they're on. But you've had a run of good luck. I'm going to say in general. And Uranus is here to make sure that anything that's still hanging on, that's sort of dragging you down, is going to get shaken up. So just relax, but Uranus is going to go into Gemini next year, and then we're going to see some shakedown. Now, the reason it's not been so pretty for you guys is because Pisces is your sort of like, remember the water air thing? Pisces is like messing y'all up. It's like there's one side where none of this makes any sense to you, and the other side where it's like, it looks like it's either very hopeful or very gloom and doom. So you're still wrestling between those two worlds. And Uranus is going to come along and sort of shake it down a little bit, make it a lot easier for you to see the path open. So don't you fret. So that means that next year we're going to see the air signs have an entire swoosh of support forward. You're going to see Pluto in Aquarius, an air sign. You're going to see Uranus in Gemini, an air sign. You're going to see Neptune in Aries, a fire sign, which is very compatible with the air, right? So what we're going to see is, I think I might sneeze here, you guys. So if you hear me mute, I'm sneezing. Other than that, I'm yelling at the boys. So air signs are going to see, I want you to pay attention to where your life is now, air signs, because it's going to change in a really big way. And I mean, in a gigantic way. And you're going to get a form of support and a form of shift that I think you're ready for. And I think you've been really ready for. Water signs are going to see the change from Jupiter in Gemini as Jupiter leaves and makes way for Uranus to come into Gemini. Jupiter's going to go into Cancer and sort of like support some of this Piscean stuff that's been going on. So the water signs are going to see this kind of Jupiterian expansion, this sort of gift from Jupiter that I think doesn't come enough. So I think we're going to see the water signs get some hope, get some advantage here that I think they feel like they've had some, but not nearly enough and not nearly as directed as they'd like it to be. So we'll see some of that. Now, that means we're sorely lacking in Earth support. It's not like you guys aren't getting any, but I do think you need to settle down a little bit after Uranus's journey into Taurus. I think we need, and Pluto leaving Capricorn. I think the Earth signs need to take a minute and just rebuild and appreciate the stability that the universe is giving you. I sure hope that is mute, because I would hate to have cleared my throat directly into the microphone. And then, let's see, Earth fire, you fire signs. Neptune's going into Aries. We're going to see that the little conglomeration of air signs, like I told you about Uranus and Pluto going to air. So we're going to see, and Saturn's going into air, fire. So we're going to see you guys start adding structure to your life in a way that you're actually going to get to build something. Not unlike the earth signs, but in a different way, based on your inspiration. Like, I think fire signs right now have been like, they feel forgotten. I will go sign by sign. I will. But I think you guys have felt a little like, okay, just get on with it. Everyone else is having stuff going on, so I just have to sit here and wait my turn. And that's not an easy thing for fire signs to do. You guys are getting your health in order. You're getting yourselves checked. And I think what happens is Neptune and Saturn go into the Aries next year, which is fire. You're going to see this wind of support in your life that is unlike any you've had in a while. So keep your patience going, because this air fire thing is really going to be for you. It's actually going to be more for you as the sleeper hit of the signs. And we'll talk about that in future shows for sure. Okay. As we wrap up, let me come and see how you guys are doing. And I'll go over the rest of the moon cycle this week. And then we'll make way for the amazing Kathleen Nicholson, who they are bracing for another hurricane in Florida. And so we want to send them out some amazing dry visualizations, calm and dry visualizations, rooting for everyone. And there is, weather is just nothing. I would like to, you know, you can't mess with Mother Nature. Pamela says nicotine has been used to help treat ADHD. It's a slippery slope. Having ADHD sufferers tend to be more prone to addiction. Yeah, that must be a slippery slope. It was fun. I'm telling you, I'd go tomorrow if I knew. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I loved it, but there's this image of me needing to have my vape next to me, needing to have, oh, I can't wait to have a hit. I hate that feeling. I despise the feeling of needing things like that. Like it feels like it's in control of me and that freaks me out. So yeah, it is a slippery slope, but I knew nicotine had some good to it. Even Edgar Cayce said nicotine had benefit. And it's just that it's really hard to do that in very small doses, but leave it to the smarter people than I. Judith says, me too. I was raised in part of the 1970s Andrew Lloyd Webber, Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack, Out of Our Heads by the Rolling Stones and other such voices. I love it. You know, the body produces nicotine acid naturally. As soon as we alternate, a source of nicotine is introduced. It's just a quicker way of having a fix, but it's really flipping expensive. She's so smart. Hi, Judith. Thank you. Quelly, please pray for us here on the Gulf Coast. Yes, Quelly, are you on the Gulf Coast too? We are. You are in our thoughts. You must let us know how you're doing. This weather is ridiculous. Patricia, thank you. Taurus here. Mark, it's so true what you're saying. I only change things when I'm pissed off. I know, right? I know. But here's the thing, you guys. Mars, thank you for reminding me, Patricia. Mars, oh, thank you, Fran, for letting me know I was muted. Good, I found the mute button. You all will be so happy I did. Listen, Mars is the antidote to Neptune. Let me explain. Mars is anger, passion, drive. Neptune is gooey, mergy, right? When you need to unmerge from somebody, you ever notice this? When you are close with somebody that you're tied in with, when you're mad, you don't want nothing to do with them. Ooh, get off of me. Ooh, right? That feeling? Well, guess what? In everything in life, when you're angry, it's the way to detach it, to fight it off, to get it off. So there's a really brilliant use of anger. But here's the catch 22 for me. My Mars, my anger is in Pisces. Whatever. Okay. So, but it is, I still get angry. When I do get angry, I want nothing to do with whatever I'm angry at. Nothing, 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 nothing. And it's so helpful because when you understand that you are angry and it's separating you from what it is you're tied into, it's amazing. So when I was mad at nicotine and I said, okay, shut the hell up. I'm out of here. I spent a lot of money on vapey toys, like these little, like what was the coolest one that, you know, the shape that made it look like, you know, I was puffing something cool, like right out of the future. It's like you think like that, but that's nicotine. That was nicotine going, look how cool you look. I laugh because when you're out of the drug, it is so not cool looking to me now, but it's like, look how cool you look. Nobody has this vape. And it's like, oh my God. So anger snaps you out of it. So when you see people getting angry, they're detaching from something typically. Okay. Maybe they're mad because like notice, and here's a good example. You might love a particular quarterback. You know, the world's crazy about sports. I feel like it's a boat I missed, but whatever. I can't help it. What am I supposed to do? It's like, I do watch the Super Bowl, but anyway, so there's a quarterback you love and it's your team and da, da, da. And you have this rival that you hate. Well, that quarterback gets bought that you love gets bought, you know, traded to that rival. And now you really hate them. You hate them so much. You burn all the clothes and all the numbers that even look like their number. And that tells me how much you're trying to fight the love you had for them. Because anger is trying to pull you out of it. So save yourself some money. Recognize that the anger is trying to get you to unlove them and come to peace with the fact that you love them and that you hated that they left. It'll save you a lot of money and a lot of blood pressure medicine. Okay. One last look. And thank you, Judith, for your sweet comment about listening live. It's so sweet to have you here, and it's so sweet to see all of you guys. It really is. I'm hitting refresh real quick so I can say goodbye and see how y'all are doing. Oh, I did want to tell you what's happening this week moon-wise. I also want to tell you that Saturday is 1-2 day at the 12th house. It's 1-2listen.com. So 1-2listen is my baby. It was my commitment to bring some good intuitive psychic advice to you. This is a hangover from the store I used to own. And The people are extraordinary, as you know, if you've called them at all. The service is extraordinary. I didn't create the service. I found the service and created the website that could work in conjunction with the service. That's where I feel really blessed. It's very safe. You're completely private. We've had no credit card malfunction, nothing. It's been amazing. And what you can do on Saturday, the 12th, is all the prices are randomized by computer, very low. It's our one time a year. We made it on 1 2-day. And you can call in and see, just have a chat with somebody. See who you like. See if that person feels supportive to you. And I always tell them and I tell you, keep an arm's distance from them. Don't try to get to know them. Have some anonymity, because we won't tell who you are ever. You get to have your own privacy, complete privacy. I mean that. Even when you leave feedback, your name isn't posted. But you can take a look and see what feels good and who feels good and work some of your stuff out. You can even do it by chat, some of the most sophisticated chat room in the world. Wait till you try it. You can even dictate it and it chats for you. I'm proud of that part. I love these people that work here at 12listen.com. Almost as much as I love you that listen to 12 Radio and come and support me every week and everyone who's on the show. Kat is going to be live next, and she is in Florida. She is a part of the Gulf Coast crisis that's happening. So let's wish her well. Send her some good energy. She does readings every show. So if you have an issue on your mind, you can post it in the room. I guess you guys know how much I care about you. Thanks for all your support, allowing me to be real with you. And let's do this again as soon as we can, which would be probably 7 days. And I have continued hope for some great surprises to come, where it's not just every Monday, where we can do some things more during the week. So stay with me on that. Thank you for being here. This is Mark Husson signing off. I will talk to you in a week. Take care now. Stay tuned for Kat.